I'd like to begin my message today by giving you all a short quiz. It's the Do You Live in the Valley quiz. Are you an imperfect parent trying to best raise your kids in this world? Are you an imperfect husband or wife trying to honor your vows and serve your spouse and wanting the best for your relationship? Do you have a parent that you are a caregiver for? Do you have someone in your life that you are a caregiver for? Do you try to stay active in your faith to attend worship and study in this very, very busy world? Do you struggle with the demands of everything going on in life? Do you feel that people are looking at you with that look, you know, I need you, or please help? If you answered yes to any of these, you are in the valley. If you're living day in, day out life, you're in the valley. And you are living down in the valley. And for those of us who, answered at least one, if not all of those, Jesus has a word for us in John 15, 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That is why Jesus invites us, like he did Peter, James, and John, to join him on the mountain to see his glory in the transfiguration, to know and experience who he is so that we can do life in the valley. Because on that mountain that day, Jesus' glory was revealed. The mountain itself wasn't the destination. Jesus left the mountaintop, went back down to the valley, and then journeyed to the cross. And now, in a sense, he has called us to re-journey now with him back up to the mountaintop to take a look, and then journey with him back down to the valley. Because it's for that place, the valley, that he will fill us with the Holy Spirit. Jesus' ministry was devoted to helping people know about him and his kingdom and its glory. Jesus' role was to share and live out the gospel message. And so through all the noise that this world has, God says, listen to him. And all the voices that call out to us and all the things that get our attention, God says, listen to him. Because Jesus, the eternal Christ, left the glory of heaven and journeyed among us. And he showed us how to live in this world. He taught us a new way of seeing things. And he demonstrated this by washing feet, touching lepers, and on Good Friday truly showed the world his true nature and character by what he was willing to do for the life of the world. So the Spirit of Jesus works among us. And he empowers us to leave where it's easy, the mountaintop, even here as we gather in church, to enter the valley of service and love. So we are called to join him, to go with him. Jesus had asked, not too long prior to this, Jesus had gathered and asked his disciples, well, who are people saying that I am? You are the Christ. And Matthew tells of Peter's great confession of Jesus, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. And then Jesus immediately follows up Peter's confession with the statement that he was now going to go, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die and be raised. And then Jesus says something that they probably weren't expecting. He would say a disciple would have to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So after that, Jesus' disciples were really in need of a lift in their outlook in life. So after 6 days, he does something. He does and gives them just what they need. He was transfigured. So as the text begins that we looked at today, that first line there in Matthew chapter 17, it says, after about a week or after 6 days, that's what he's linking it to. Peter's confession and this transfiguration, they're closely connected. Because what happened on the mountain, that transfiguration, confirmed for the disciples that he truly is the Messiah, he truly is the Son of the living God, just as confessed. So what they saw and experienced was a taste of the coming glory. So as we share, in a sense, the troubles of life, every believer gets, in a sense, to catch a look at that vision, get a taste of what is to come. And we need that for what we are called to do. I really, really have needed that recently. Just in all the things I'm coming alongside and helping with my mom. I don't think a day has gone by in the last 2 months where I have been over there at least 2, sometimes 3 times a day helping with things. And then now up in L.A. yesterday and get a call, and then she's on her way back to the hospital again. And then while I was in L.A. yesterday, it was a great trip. It was our 24 trip, our intercity trip with the confirmation kids. Just amazing weekend. 24 hours is amazing what can happen in 24 hours. Kids were awesome. The ministry sites we were at, awesome. And we got the privilege again to go back yesterday morning. We came alongside, it's called Faith in Christ Ministries. They're in South Central LA. They've been there for about 30 years or so. And for years, we've had the privilege of going up and partnering with them and doing some work. And we were helping set up and prep and serve breakfast to people in the community yesterday. And it's led by Pastor Joe and his wife, Gwen Brown, and about 30 years. I was thinking about them all the time I go up there to hear stories about how God has so faithfully worked in that ministry over the years. And we got the privilege, too, not only working with Gwen, who's just this amazing person, but also to have Pastor Joe, who's getting up there in years and stuff like that. He took time out and came over and talked to the kids in our group. Gave him a pep talk about life and faith and said, hey, it's all about helping people see Jesus. That's bottom line. That's what it's all about. And then also just helping eliminate blight, the very cancer in our world that just robs people of seeing Jesus. And it was a great time spent there. And just, I can't imagine, you know, ministry in and of itself is not easy. I can't imagine trying to be at it for 30 years in right in the epicenter of South Central and all the things that go on there. And yet faithfully, day after day, they see amazing ways that God is working. And it's a neat thing to be a part of and almost be encouraged and renewed that God is faithful to what he's doing all the time. But see, here's the deal. See, Jesus said, and John refers to this, that we've not been called out of the world, but we've been called to overcome the world. Now, in Luke's telling of the transfiguration, it says they came down from the mountain. As soon as they came down from the mountain, it says a great crowd met him. And that's exactly the way it is in life. I can guarantee you, you go up and you have a mountaintop experience, you have some great thing, and all of a sudden, wham, you hit reality right when you come back home or something else happens. It happens all the time. There they were waiting. But see, on the slopes of the mountain, they had a revelation of Jesus' true identity. And he was qualified, and more than qualified. And because he was more than qualified, they really, truly could put all of their faith and trust and hope in Jesus. They could lean into him with everything. Because for the disciples, this journey was going to be amazingly challenging. So the transfiguration showed that he is God. He is the Messiah. And they're told, listen to him. And then you fast forward a few weeks, because it's just a few weeks later that now Jesus is with the exact same 3 disciples, except now they're on the hillside at the foot of Mount of Olives. And now they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this time, they're not seeing Jesus transfigured in all of his glory. They're seeing a man in tears and distress and broken as he's pouring out his heart before his Father the night before his death. It's almost like they're going to probably spend the rest of their lives trying to figure out these two images. Here's Jesus broken, crying in distress in the garden, and then remembering too what they saw on the mountain that day. And as they leave the mountain, they hit reality and are challenged. Because the message is for all of us who are followers of Christ. See, the power for life and faith comes from Christ, from God. So the call to live and work and serve in the valley as we carry out our cross and follow him as we await, in a sense, the promise. And if I'm going to Jerusalem, I need Christ and what he did for me. Because if I've got my cross and I'm following along with Jesus and he's heading for Jerusalem, that says I'm going to also experience a type of death in my own life to my will, my choices, what I want, and completely submit to the will of the one I'm following and be about his work. So what's so beautiful is the New Testament lesson that comes alongside today in 2 Peter, because they are words of total assurance. And Peter says, hey, these aren't just some cleverly invented story just to teach an object lesson here. It happened. It's real. And we can testify to it because I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. And Peter needed that experience for his own life. So he rejected every suggestion that his wisdom was just a matter of someone's own interpretation. Didn't have that in the origin or the will of man, but God spoke as he was moved along by the Holy Spirit. So after Jesus' resurrection, he did share what he had heard and saw, because Jesus said, hey, don't tell anyone what you saw here, experienced, until after I've been raised. And that's exactly what Peter did. And it was the perfect time, too, because when Peter's writing this letter, he was also right close to the time in his own life where he would experience martyrdom himself as he was put to death as a follower and proclaimer of Jesus. See, God's divine power has granted to all of us the things that pertain to life and godliness. And so Peter knew the truth of the gospel and its impact on people is dependent on seeing Jesus for who he is. He is the very Son of God. So where is God's glory to be found? Where's glory to be found? It's going to be found in a person dying for sinners, rescuing sinners, in being a servant. So in the church calendar, it has always been this way, the Sunday just before the beginning of Lent is the story of the Transfiguration. It fits perfect to understand who this is about that's going to be now journeying to the cross for us. So we enter into this journey this week during the season of Lent. And as I already said, on Ash Wednesday, we're marked as we begin the journey. Ash Cross reminds us that we've been marked with sin, but also we're marked with Christ, our Savior from sin. We're reminded that we were created from dust and we're going to return to dust, that life is fragile and limited. During the season, oftentimes followers of Christ commit themselves to something. Maybe to give something up, to kind of get in that spirit of sacrifice. Maybe some people also to commit themselves to maybe something that would help them in the faith, something for other people, some type of ministry. But all along the way, we're reminded of who we follow. Because the Transfiguration always has a way of showing us just who Jesus is and that he is God, who's going to equip us as we live in the valley. And we're reminded of as we get a taste of what is to come. So as we prepare for Lent, the reminder, it's Jesus only. That's why everything had to be cleared out of the way. And when they looked up that day, there wasn't Moses, there wasn't Elijah, it wasn't law, it wasn't prophets, it wasn't anything like that. It's just Jesus. And so we can take this upcoming season of Lent, in a sense, and commit to a deep, kind of intense time of just devotional life. Spend time with God, meditate on his word, contemplate his love. That's going to enable us to come down from the mountain and just love and share and sacrifice and serve others in the name of Jesus. At the same time, we connect beautifully again with this verse we've been running with this year from Isaiah 63:7. I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many things he has done for Israel according to his compassion and many kindnesses. The opportunities come to reflect and share and talk about the kindnesses of God in our own life, his mercy and grace as it's shown up, how he's shown himself to be faithful to his promises. And he will continue to be faithful to the work that he has done. So we enter through a new season, but it's all about Jesus and what he made possible for us. And then the greatest celebration of all, the payment on the cross was accepted and Jesus is alive, he's risen. But sometimes we need that time to reflect on the cross and its meaning to truly appreciate what the resurrection means, or really it means nothing. So we journey together, thankful for God and his promises. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.